As I mentioned, I wanted to move on with the tabernacle stuff and all this week, but I just felt it wise and necessary to address all the stuff going on. If for nothing else, just to say we did, and that everybody knows kind of where we stand and where we are. In my humble opinion, what we are seeing happen in the world and our country right now directly dovetails into what we've been talking about these last couple of months. What was God's purpose, or what is Genesis 1, the narrative, telling us about who God is? What is Genesis 1? What is the point of the Genesis 1 story of creation? It's telling us that He is a God who brings order out of chaos. He is the one who is sufficiently knowing, wise, and has the ability, i.e., the power, to bring not something out of nothing, but to take things that are in complete chaos and to organize them and to systematize them, it's a word, into functioning systems that work to produce life. Genesis 1, we've talked about it ad nauseum, is not about chemical compounds and the shape of the earth and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They didn't even have a periodic table when Genesis 1 was written. It is about God producing order out of chaos. And then He creates these beings called Adam, humanity, humans. He creates these beings, and He gives them an identity. What is the identity that Hashem gives to human being, to humanity? His image. His image. That's how the story begins. Finally, God looks over all that He had done, and He says, it's all right. I wish I would have done this differently. Man, I missed that part. Ooh, I really missed that part. No, He says it's tov me'od. It's very good. Creation is good. Now, I don't know how you were taught, and I know I use my own upbringing for a lot of, excuse me, this is so not professional, but I'm turning the air conditioners up so people don't freeze. I know I use my own background a lot for illustrative purposes, but hey, it's all I got. So where you can relate, fine. Where you can't, praise God. But there was a sense growing up that creation was out to kill us. It was out to destroy us. Everything in the world had been tainted by the fall. That everything in creation was evil trying to get us. And that there was nothing we could trust. There was nothing we could do. It's a kind of a depressing and stressful way to live, to be honest. And yet, what does God say about the creation that He brought about? It's good. It's good. It's very good. So, we have a creation. We have a God who we serve. We know who He is, we know what His character is, we know what His personality is. And so He calls humanity to partner with Him to establish His kingdom order on this earth. This is what our whole series has been about. Our purpose as the children of God is really singular in a lot of ways. Our purpose is to make His name great. That's it. You have one job. Now, again, like we prayed in worship, most of the earth knows of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They may not know his name. They may not know his name the way you know his name or I know his name, et cetera, et cetera. But they understand the biblical story. They understand the God of our Bible, Judeo-Christian scriptures. What this is not about is making sure that everyone has a name to call on like they're casting a spell. I'm so sick of the sacred name junk where if you don't say it right or you have to say it right or we have to say this certain litany or liturgy of prayers in a certain order in a certain way, like that's going to manipulate God into doing exactly what we said. That's witchcraft, folks. Sorry. That is incantation. Our job is to make his reputation great. Is to make his character known. Is to prove his authority in the earth as vessels. That's our job. How do we do that? Well, Yeshua said, you love God and you love people. And of course, we know that there's more instructions teaching us how to do that. So, I have, in the last several days, I've talked to pastor friends all over the country. I do have friends. I've talked to pastor friends all over the country. Christian, Messianic, Hebrew roots. Even Catholic deacons. And the thing I can't get away from with this whole issue, pandemic, is that for the kingdom, if you place yourself in the kingdom, this is for you. For believers, in whatever shape, form, I'm not going to judge anybody on what qualifies you as a believer. I'm saying if you consider yourself a child of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, there is a very specific job that we are called to do. There's a very specific character that we are called to have. There's a very specific identity that we are to take on. And so the thing I can't get away from in the midst of all the stuff that's happening is, what is this telling us about us? What is all of this, the 25-hour news cycle, the 30-minute news cycle as it seems to be now, 15 minutes, all the social media hype, all of the fear, all of the anxiety, all of the stress, all of the, what is it telling the kingdom about itself? Because coronavirus, COVID-19, is a huge mirror that the church and the household of faith should be staring into. Christianity, of which I place ourselves in that, is so obsessed with revelation, end time prophecy, tribulation, the rapture, how bad it's going to be, blah, 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 blah. We're so obsessed with it. But if this pandemic has shown us anything, it's shown us one thing. We ain't ready. Sorry, folks, we ain't ready. Now, for those that believe that, well, it's so we don't have to be ready, we'll get up out of here before any of this stuff breaks down. You're living it. You're living in tribulation right now. What do you mean you're going to get up out of here before it's here? I'm not saying this is the great tribulation. What I'm saying is things freaking stink. And you're still here. What are you going to do about it? For all of our obsession over the end times, we're not ready. We're not ready physically. Most of us don't have food to last a couple of weeks. I'm not talking about burying a shipping container in your backyard as a fallout bunker. I'm talking about have 30 days of food. That's smart. Have 2 weeks of food. That's not crazy. 15 years ago, people thought it was crazy. Now those people wish they had food. We're not ready spiritually. I have seen more verses posted on Facebook, taken out of context as a proof text to explain what is going on than I ever thought could ever even be possible. Now, some are comforting and great, and that's good and all of that. We're not ready emotionally. We're not ready emotionally. And this is not to be a wet blanket thing. I'm going to hopefully pick this up in a second. We're not ready emotionally. Have you been to Walmart? Good, if you haven't not, if you say no. I went to Sam's Club in Lake Charles yesterday. There was a line to get into the store. You know how Sam's Club, Costco, wherever you are, they have the oversized baskets? Families pulling out 3 and 4 and 5 of those baskets full of stuff. You can't find toilet paper anywhere. You know what? COVID, corona, whatever, it's a respiratory disease. I heard on the news a lady they interviewed said, "Ma'am, why are you buying all the toilet paper?" She said, "Because everybody else is." Emotionally, folks, we're not ready for the end. We're not ready. I just wish Messiah would return. No, you don't. Because this right here, this last week, has proven that you don't want that. Because Messiah returning, let me say this. Because of the way the book of Revelation is so imagery dense and the images are so wild, we have made the book of Revelation like a Harry Potter story. It's all supernatural, and we're just kind of here as pawns. And while I believe in the spiritual and the supernatural, I shouldn't have to say that, but I do. I believe in the spiritual and the supernatural. I believe. What if the vision that John saw is a lot more physical in nature than it is spiritual? For some of you, you're sitting there going, "Well, duh." For some of you, you've never even considered this. What if the end times is not going to be about us seeing legions of angels fighting in the skies? What if the end times, we're not going to physically see a beast rise up out of the earth? Something that nobody has ever seen in human history. What if the signs and the images that John was given were to be a hyperbolic way of saying this is how bad it's going to be, how not even bad, how intense it's going to be, good and bad? We haven't gotten to this in our study, and I'm sorry, I'm kind of running over my next couple of weeks of lessons, but it's fitting. When the scripture, the prophets specifically, talk about beasts, Daniel 7, these are not supernatural beings. Go back home and read Daniel 7. Those beasts are not supernatural beings. They are kings. Flesh and blood people. Governmental systems. Empires. They're not supernatural beings that one day Jesus is going to fight in the sky. No. The bottom line is, and I don't know how to say this the way I'm processing it, so help me and you can ask me to clarify later. The book that we live our lives based on, ladies and gentlemen, is much more physical than it is spiritual. Just going to throw that statement out there. It's about how do you, as humans, created in the image of God, live as the image of God in the world where you are, on the terra firma where God put you, in the schools you teach at, all of our, half the group is teachers, in the schools you teach at, in the places where you work, where your managers and supervisors are bathroom stall washers or whatever, patty flippers or whatever it is, wherever you are, how do you live as the image of God in this world? The Bible is not about going to heaven. The Bible is about how to bring heaven here. So why do we think about everything is so spiritual? Not that it's not spiritual, but so spiritual to the point that we check out. That's my point. Everything having to do with the Bible and God is so spiritual that we check out. Because Jesus is going to handle it all. So all we do is wait. We wait on the Lord. Well, wait on the Lord doesn't mean to wait. It means to wait. Like a waiter. To serve until an appointed time. The reason why I want to address this now is because there's some questions that are probably being asked. If not in public, because social media, you know, is our best face. But in private, in person, in people's private lives, this question is probably being asked, where is God? This question is asked every time there's something that upsets our apple cart. Where's God? I had a friend that posed a question to me this week, and he said, if God is in the beginning and God is in the end, what's the middle about? And my only response was, maybe he expects his people to know his character and represent him well in the middle. What happens when you can't find God? Does it mean he's not there? Absolutely not. God is everywhere. He's all present. He's in control. Please understand where I'm coming from. I'm trying to right this balance. But when we can't find God, that's the time where we need to step into that image-bearing role like never before. If someone started to choke and there's no paramedics in this building, somebody in here would step into the role of a paramedic, even though you're not one, in order to accomplish the life-saving, life-restoring job that needed to be done. It doesn't mean I don't mean we're gods, but I'm saying we're the sons of Daddy. And we better look like him. When Dad's not here, we better do just like it would be if Dad was here. And when people are asking, where's God? Let me encourage you not to deflect. Where's God is a deflection. It's a distracting question. Because what do we expect God to do? I mean, let's be really, really raw and really, really real. What do we expect God to do? In your mind, if God was to move against the coronavirus, what would you expect? What does that look like? I think a lot of what we expect is really not biblical. Are you saying that you don't believe God can heal? Did I say that? Don't put words in my mouth. Don't say he believes when you don't know what I believe. God can heal. Absolutely. But if we expect God to do everything in some global magical way, and I've been using that word magical a lot, and I mean it, then why are we here? What's your purpose if I've just given it all to Jesus? Why are you in this building? Why are you going to fill up church pews tomorrow? I'll tell you what's going to happen in this pandemic. Revival is going to break out. Notice I said revival, just like it did after 9/11. What are we doing? If God's going to take care of it all, shouldn't we go about our own business? What happens when God is not there, quote unquote, is that his people are responsible for representing him. When people can't find God, when they can't see the hand of God, when they can't sense God, it's because we are not there. When people don't feel like God is working and moving in a situation, I want to submit to you that it's because his people have sat down on the job. It's because his people are so busy trying to take care of themselves that they can't take care of anyone else. Yes. So the where's God, if you're asking yourself where's God, that question tells me and it should tell you that you need to get busy. Be the image of God where you can't find God, because he equipped you to, and he put his presence in you, and he gave you his wisdom, and he gave you his word, and he gave you his spirit, and he gave you all favor and all, and Yeshua said, these things and more will you do. Let's get to doing them. The world can't find God because we're sitting at home as scared as the world is. These times, the biblical prophecy is not cosmic, it's terrestrial. And the beasts of prophecy are moving around the earth, and we're rebuking demonic spirits, and the beasts of this earth who need to be stood against as the kingdom of God are running roughshod over the kingdom of God because we're rebuking something that may or may not even exist. Last week we sang, Hodu l'Adonai ki tov, ki le'olam chasto, for he is good, his mercy endures forever. We are called to bring order out of chaos, but we can't bring order when we don't carry it with us. It's really interesting that we're talking about a virus, something that you carry. Something that you carry. You carry and you spread it. It has symptoms. It causes you to act and feel differently than you would normally. It's contagious. Are we carrying? Are we viral carriers of chaos or order? Are we adding to the noise and to the chaos and to the anxiety and to the stress? And I'm not saying post Bible verses every minute of the day, because let's be honest, that probably is not helping a whole lot of people. Makes us feel good, and it's good. And I know I'm treading on really thin ice here. I'm just saying, let's get to the nuts and bolts of what this means. Mothers, fathers are going to be hurting over daycare, over what to do with their children. We've never seen anything like this. Hey, instead of posting a Bible verse, why don't you be the Bible verse? Why don't you offer to babysit some kids for a couple days a week? Why don't you offer to provide meals for somebody a couple days a week that you know? I'm not asking us to change the face of DeRidder. I'm not asking us to feed every hungry kid in Beauregard Parish or of Oils or Vernon, wherever. I'm not asking that. I'm saying, what can you do as a child of God? Because the same attitude that we've given to God, well, God's got it all under control. I'm just going to sit back. Jesus, take the wheel. Hallelujah. Oh. That same attitude we've brought into the church. Well, the pastor in the church will take care of it. I'll just come and I'll feel good that I'm a part of something bigger than myself. What a crock. And then want to look around and say, well, my church didn't do this or my church didn't do that. Where's God? Well, you're trying to just shirk your responsibility as the leader and the pastor. No, I'm trying to say that if we all do our part, we have a whole lot bigger impact. And you know people I don't know. And you rub elbows, hopefully, not handshake, with people I don't know. And your kids go to school with kids that I'll never know. And it's lazy, and it's dishonest, and it's a lack of loyalty to the kingdom of God to say somebody else will do it. When God has put you in a place and given you a circle of influence. We look for God because we're not prepared. Wow, that really sounds like you're saying if we're prepared, we don't need to depend on God. Again, not what I said. I'm just pushing against every Christian lazy superficial dogma we've ever heard. What about if being prepared is depending on God? What about if being prepared, having our stuff in order, having our finances in order, having some food and having being healthy emotionally, being healthy spiritually, what if that is depending on God? What if that is trusting God to be, that saying, He's making me into the person I'm supposed to be? Yeah. I'm depending on God every minute of the day to teach me His wisdom so that when time comes and the world is falling apart and things are crashing and burning around us, we as the kingdom can stand like a city on a hill because we have depended on God and we've trusted Him to teach us how to be the strength, the beacon, the lighthouse, the standard when everything else is going awry. Conversation with a couple of people yesterday, and one lady said, just, I'm so glad, great Christian people, she said, I'm so glad that we're okay, you know, financially, and that her husband owns his own business, etc., etc., and they're okay, and most of us are okay, Baruch Hashem, and I'm so thankful for that. But is that good enough? Because I tell you what the mirror is showing me, personally, Heather and I. We're okay. Yay, our family's okay. So? And I said this yesterday. I said, we're okay, but we're not okay enough to help somebody else be okay. Hey, you got food. Big deal. There's people around the kingdom going hungry, we have nothing to applaud. But we can't allow others and help others to be okay if we're not okay first. So growing up spiritually, which includes taking care of physical things, emotional things, maturing spiritually as a child of God, is the first order of business. Because we will never be the peace in the storm of this tribulation or a great tribulation that comes later unless we're okay, guys. And to help to that end, the reason why I throw out comments and I ask questions and I don't give any answers is to make you wrestle with stuff. If you care about your walk and if you care about what I'm talking about, I say things intentionally to upset people. not to be mean, not to be a jerk. I can do that well enough naturally. I don't have to try. But to make you wrestle, because we are at a point right now, a time is not coming, a time is here when you need to have your own faith. You need to be solid as a rock. Gatherings under 250 in Louisiana are not allowed to meet. Persecution! It's not persecution! Shut up! The church is not being persecuted. Drives me crazy. What if we couldn't meet for a month? What if we decided out of wisdom, I'm not saying we are, what if we decided to not meet for a month? What would happen to your faith? I would like to think that all of us sitting in this room could say, I'd be good. I'd miss fellowship. I'd miss seeing my family. But I got my thing. Like, I know how to study. I know how to pray. I know how to worship. I know how to cultivate a relationship with God. People are crazy because they can't have church. But our relationships with God and with each other should run deeper than this building. If you're not already checking on each other during the week, why would we think it would start if we can't meet? You see what I mean? All this stuff is a mirror to our health. Spiritual, emotional, physical. Has everybody tuned off the live stream? All right. Good. Whatever. This crisis, there's a politician, I'll just say, made a statement a little while back that said, never waste a crisis. I would like to echo that comment, and I would like to say, I agree. As the kingdom, let's never waste a crisis. Because what are we... We just celebrated Purim. Was Hadassah there? Why was she there? What was the whole purpose of her life? Salvation, when? And what was that time like? It was a crisis. The people of God are most needed during times when everybody else's everything is falling apart. Because we're supposed to be the ones that have it together. But in a doctrinal background that tells us that you're sin sick, you'll never have it together, you'll never have it right, you'll never be good enough, all of your righteousness is as filthy rags, you'll never do anything good enough. Oh, you think that little bit of money you got is going to save you? Oh, you think those canned goods you donated is going to, you know, is righteous, whatever? In a doctrinal brainwashing that we've come through like that, I can understand why we all go, well, we can't do anything right, so we'll just let God handle it. I'm here today to say, bull. I'm here to push against that with everything in my being. That righteousness is filthy rags verse is ripped so far out of context that it can't even see where it came from. We need to make sure that believers, that the community of faith that has wisdom, I hate the idea that Christian business owners get demonized. Oh, well, look how successful they are. Yeah. Imagine if all of us or half of us made an effort to be nearly as financially stable as some of our Christian business owners. There wouldn't be a hungry person in DeRidder. The kingdom would be here. There would be no one without a home. There would be no one without food. There would be no one without clothes. There would be no child not knowing whether they were going to get a meal today. Come on. Oh, but that's selfish. We demonize that stuff. But who do we look to in times of trouble? The people that were selfish while we were being hyper-spiritual. Never waste a crisis. Ask yourself, we're asking ourselves, as OAM, hopefully other, I know other ministers are as well, other ministries are as well, what is this teaching us about ourselves? Are you worried about your health? Are you worried about you? Do some digging. Do some searching. Do some praying. I almost threw my phone through a wall last night. The only reason I did is because I can't afford a new one. I'm trying to touch my eyes. They said, you don't realize how much you touch your face. And I was like, I never touch my face. Oh, yeah. Yeah. All the time. I believe the name of God, the authority of God is above every name. Cancer, coronavirus, diabetes, heart problem, whatever. But I'll go back and I'll ask the question again. When we pray against the spirit of coronavirus, I don't even know what that is, and we rebuke it, what do we expect to happen? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. We expect everybody to just be instantly healed all over the earth? Great. I'll believe that with you. Absolutely. Yeah. Because God can. In an instant. Without you and I even knowing about it. He doesn't need our help for that. But has he yet? So what are you doing in the meantime? Man, I know for some this, ooh, are going to misunderstand me and think that I don't believe in prayer and I don't believe in supernatural things and I don't believe in miracles and I don't believe in... Please, please, please don't misunderstand me. And if you understand that that's what I believe, please don't go talk about me behind my back. Because you're in sin. And God don't like that. What I have seen in my 25 years of ministry is a kingdom that's out of balance. Is a kingdom that is so heavenly minded that we are literally no earthly good. And as a pastor, as a leader of a young congregation that I hope will be here 60, 70, 80 years from now, still holding the light of Yeshua up, following the Torah, keeping the feast, I want to make sure our trajectory shifts, that we're headed in the right direction. I guess the last question before we say goodbye to our live stream audience is, in the midst of this, this thing could last months. I think the numbers are something like 80% of people who get infected don't even know they're infected. 97% of people who get infected self-heal and come through it, a few days sick. I am concerned about the elderly, and not our community here, but our community here, yes, you know. Can be easily done with a little bit of wisdom. We have people that are home today because they're immunocompromised. That's smart. Okay. Do what you have to do. Take care of yourself. This could go on for months. My question is, and a lot of people are going to suffer financially. It's not the virus that's scary. It's the hysteria around the virus. The virus will be what it is. It's the hysteria. So in that light, knowing that, the question I want to leave everybody with is, are we bringing order into somebody's chaos? That may be as simple as not saying anything at all. You might not have a word from God to speak into somebody's situation, but at least don't pour gasoline on the flames of their anxiety and their worry. Are we bringing order into somebody's chaos? Look to be a blessing where we can. Look to be salt and light. This is, I'm not saying anything that Yeshua himself didn't say, folks. We can pray in the Spirit, and we should be. We should be praying. That should be our number one first priority above any and all other things. But with our praying, we need to have a tool in our hand, doing something. Nehemiah built the wall, building in one hand and a sword in the other hand. For all of our multitasking, we can pray and work at the same time. Look for one family, look for one person to bring order to their chaos. If everybody takes their place in the kingdom, we impact the world. So thank you for everybody joining us by live stream. I hope this was encouraging to you. I hope I'm not less any friends. I know y'all. Y'all love me, and I'm thankful. Shabbat shalom. Like I said, I don't have anything else to say. That's it. Go bring order to somebody's world. Hopefully next week I will be able to share some exciting news with you guys. And so we're going to talk about that right now. But let me bless you. Father, bless you and thank you for those watching by live stream. I know that there are people watching today that are in areas that are harder hit than we are. We're so fortunate in rural southwest Louisiana. We're so blessed and so fortunate. But Father, I know that there are people that, I know that there are your children all over the states, all over the world, that love you, and just because they're having a harder time doesn't mean that we're blessed and they're not. But I believe, Father, that you have placed them there to bring order out of the chaotic situation. And Father, I pray for their needs, and I pray that you would supply, and I know that you will, because that's who you are. You're a good, good Father. I know that you'll supply needs, Father. Let us take up and let us partner with you. Like you called Adam, like you called Abraham, like you called Noah, ultimately like you sent Yeshua, let us partner with you, Father, in doing the work to again restore the earth. We bless you and we thank you for your love, your shalom, for the recharge that we get on Shabbat. And I thank you, Father, for technology that we can connect with each other even if physical connection becomes an impossibility. Thank you for making a way for us to still be in contact. We love you and we bless you. In Yeshua's name, for your name's sake, amen.